Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting on the vinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can go there if you want to support the broadcast and donate either through PayPal, or there, if you happen to be a New Zealander, there is a Kiwi Bank account options there, and we recommend people either donate or give $5 a month to simply support the broadcast, because let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, just point a stick at somebody in New Zealand who's doing anything like what I'm doing for anywhere near the amount of people that I'm doing it for. How many people are supporting the activist community? How many people are making sure that they've got a radio platform and YouTube and what have you? How many people have been censored by YouTube for criticizing the Prime Minister and exposing his past? The answer is, there's freaking no one, all right? So if you want this country to continue to survive, well, basically, I'd be inconsequential to that. Maybe that's a bit arrogant of me. But anyway, if you want the activist to at least feel like somebody's listening to them, go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and please donate today. Speaking of which, my very special guest right now is the Dr. Rima Labo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vinny. It is always such a pleasure to be with you.
Now, Dr. Rima Labo is, of course, famous in supermarket chains because she's the one who makes all their Labos for the food products as well. And she's also the wonderful person behind the Dr. Rima Truth Reports, obviously. and she's really good at helping out with, well, basically helping health without the use of ridiculously painful pharmaceutical drugs. Now, I was speaking to you a couple of hours ago, Rima, about the mainstream media demonizing the living Shiite Muslim out of you. Could you fill us in?
I don't know about the Shiite Muslim interview. Is that what you said?
No. Shiite Muslim is actually just standing in the place for a four-letter word.
Okay. Sorry. Yes, the mainstream media has decided that I am its most recent demon. And that's rather interesting. It actually started on August 16th when the New York Times, the good gray New York Times, all the news that's fit to print, decided that I was irresponsible and that I was pumping a scam because it said that I was making claims that nanosilver 10 parts per million would cure Ebola. And the FDA, that's the Fraud and Death Administration of the United States government, or of the New World government, I suppose, had decided to say that nanosilver was a bogus cure for Ebola because there was, and I quote, these are very important words, Vinny, no approved treatment for Ebola. And so the New York Times wrote a terrible article about me and about the Natural Solutions Foundation, and they accused me of providing nanosilver to Nigeria, which I had not done precisely because neither the president nor the Minister of Health of Nigeria took me up on my offer to provide it for them for clinical trials.
Who would have thought that the Nigerians would ick themselves out of another scam?
Well, in the same issue, the New York Times was calling me irresponsible for sharing nanosilver as an immune support based on research done, I will have you know, by none other than the United States Department of Defense in an agency called the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, the DTRA. They did research, and I was telling people about that research. That research was declassified in 2009. And so for the last 5 years, at least, people have known that nanosilver, 10 parts per million, this particular one, increased the ability of cells to resist penetration by the Ebola virus specifically. When a virus cannot penetrate a cell, the virus cannot then capture the DNA mechanism of the cell and force it to replicate itself, the virus, and rupture the cell and be released into the body and make more viruses and more and more and more. No penetration, no replication. No replication, no disease. So what we were showing was that based on the Department of Defense's own research, the lie that there was nothing that could stop Ebola was nothing more than a lie. Well, they didn't like that. So
the real question is,
this is so funny, Vinny, you got to hear this. In the same issue of the New York Times, they said that in a different article, that instead of saying that there was nothing, they should give Ebola victims statin drugs, which somehow or other would cure Ebola. So I'm irresponsible for talking about powerful, solid research, and they're not irresponsible for making this up and pulling it out of a dark, damp orifice. That was just the first one.
Well, the real question is here, how do you know that the Department of Defense aren't complete frauds?
Well, they're frauds in many ways, but the fact is that I have been using this particular nanosilver, 10 parts per million, for 10 to 15 years. And I have used it with people who had all kinds of infections that were resistant to absolutely everything except this nanosilver 10 parts per million, which is totally non-toxic and which has never failed to be effective against any organism as far as I know. So it was consistent with everything I know. But then we get to the point where the World Health Organization, which is definitely not your friend, actively interfered with clinical demonstrations in Sierra Leone and in Liberia. I mean, when I say active, Vinny, I'm talking active. They said, you can't do that. And the president of Sierra Leone threw the chief of station of WHO out after he waltzed into a cabinet meeting and said, hey, you guys can't use nanosilver. We won't let you. So he got thrown out of the country. Eventually, we managed to get nanosilver into Liberia and into Sierra Leone to members of the government. And today, we published a piece from the Minister of Information, that's the presidential spokesperson, of Sierra Leone. And that's published on the first link that I gave you. That's one of my blogs. Maybe you can put that in your chat. If you go to drremotruthreports.com, the latest blog that we have is called This Works, Sierra Leone Information Minister, because what he said and what he verified in an email was exactly what he meant, was that nanosilver, 10 parts per million, is working in his country, which is ravaged by Ebola. And so there, it works. That's his statement. And of course, we now have clinical trials starting in another West African country in secret, which are being documented in minute detail by a physician. Because the truth is the matter is that this Ebola virus, weaponized Ebola virus, the patents of which are held by the United States government, is a genocidalist's wet dream, and we just threw a spanner into the works. It happens to be a silver spanner.
Well, there is an old saying among Lancaster bomber pilots of World War II. They had to fly from England and go all the way over to Germany to make their bomb runs. When you're being shot at, With the flak cannon, i.e. if you're copping the flak, it means you're over the target.
Yes, exactly. Well, we have all the right enemies, so we must be doing some pretty good work. Now, we've done something even worse, Vinny. Even worse. Maybe you should never talk to me again. What we've done is make this very same nanosilver available very inexpensively to people, so they can buy it. And I've given them a protocol so that they know how to use it. And this is totally non-toxic. It's a nutrient. It's not a drug. It's safe for everybody, including pregnant women. We have multiple peer-reviewed studies showing that. oh dear, oh dear, we just threw a silver spanner into their genocidalist wet dream.
How unfortunate for them.
Pardon me?
How unfortunate for them.
Somebody foiled again.
And in fact,
foiled again. Do you realize how long they spent? They've worked on this damn thing since 1977. And they finally got it right, except, oh dear, some idiot declassified this research. Oh dear.
I can guarantee you that dude who declassified that is going to be fired tomorrow.
I can guarantee you that they're chopped up into little pieces by now. By the way, may I give the website where people can go and see whether they want to buy this for themselves? And it is available internationally.
Well, naturally.
Well, thank you. It's http://donate.drimatruth.com. There is no www in this one, folks. It's http://donate.drimatruth.com. And the FDA has sent us a warning letter, and so has the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. They say that we've turned nanosilver into an unapproved drug by telling people about the research. But they also say that in order to tell people about nanosilver, 10 parts per million, we have to have research. So if we use the research that we have to have, they'll make it illegal because they'll turn it into an unapproved drug, which is illegal to make, manufacture, or recommend. A little catch 22 for
you. It sounds very similar to the way YouTube treated me. I emailed them to say, hey, bro, can you like reinstate my channel, please? And they emailed me back saying, your email is banned. Sign into your banned YouTube account with your banned email and then email us with that. And then
Exactly. And they create a circle, and then they say, well, you can't get out of the circle because it's a circle. And so what we did was, we have created a response to the FDA, and we have said we are perfectly willing to follow the law because in the United States it is against the law. We believe the law is unconstitutional, but it is against the law to say that a nutrient can diagnose, treat, prevent, mitigate, or cure anything, even if it can. And it is illegal to say that a nutrient is a therapy.
This sounds, I'm sorry, is a treatment. This sounds exactly like a Codex Alimentarius, which you exposed.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. And so it's illegal to say there's a treatment. And one other cool fact here, Vinny, the FDA lacks the legal authority to approve nutrients. So the FDA says there is no approved drug. And they're right, because they don't have the authority to approve or disapprove a nutrient. And I'm sorry, I misquoted. There is no approved treatment, they say. But the nutrient cannot be a treatment. It can only be a therapy. So there is a permitted therapy. There is no approved treatment. So legalistically, they're right. But they're right in such a way that it intentionally deceives the public into thinking that they better wait around for that magic serum or that super duper new experimental vaccine and then roll up their arms. I mean, roll up their sleeves. I have been doing radio for about 6 hours today, and it's about 1:34 in the morning where I am. So forgive me if I'm a little bit...
You're still more cogent than 99% of the other qualified doctors in the world, Dr. Rima.
Well, that's because I don't use a prescription pad. You see, that sort of turns them into meta-whores immediately, and I don't do that. But thank you. So the point is that here we have a safe, inexpensive, easily available nutrient that stops the entire problem from going forward. End of problem. And they don't like that. So CBS has attacked us, and the Gannett papers, USA Today, I'm sure, public radio, you just name it. Mainstream media, boy, we are the worst thing to hit the pike since God knows when.
And by chance, is there a single victim that they can point to?
of the use of nanosilver?
Yeah, did somebody like just get nanosilver? Oh my God, it's 10 parts per billion.
Well, that's so interesting. They're saying it's a pesticide, which is interesting. And I say, oh, does it kill pests too? That's great. They're saying that it's dangerous. And they have one study in which somebody injected tiny particles of silver. Now, nano just refers to the size. It could be anything finely divided into tiny sizes. They injected it into the abdominal cavity of experimental animals, and the experimental animals didn't do well with it. So they say, see, it's toxic. And I wrote to the person who showed me that article saying, ha-ha, it's toxic. I said, is that really how you and your family are planning to use it? You're going to inject it into your peritoneal cavity? Most people just drink it.
I mean, because then you've got like a thing called the digestive system, which has been evolved over bazillions of years or whatever the hell in order to keep stuff out of you. I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And so there's another study. This is one of my favorites. Somebody wrote to me and said, it's actually toxic to sperm. And I said, really? I don't see how that could be, but okay. And I went and I did some research, and here's what I found. In Denmark, they took a bull and they expressed its sperm, and they took out all the liquid. They condensed it. So it was really, really, really condensed sperm goo. And then they put a very high concentration of some kind of silver, all silvers are not created equal, into the plastic bag. Notice plastic. Plastic has xenoestrogens and things that would have some impact on sperm. They put the nanosilver into the bag with the condensed sperm goo, and they let it sit around for a while, and then they found that the sperm were less able to perform their spermly duties. And that was said to be evidence of sperm damage from nanosilver ingested. And so I said to the person who wrote to me, unless you are planning to dehydrate yourself, put yourself and your sperm in a plastic bag and expose yourself to high concentrations of some other kind of silver besides the one that I'm talking about, I think your sperm are safe.
and let's face it, if your alternative to, even if that was the case, all right, it definitely kills Ebola. Now, what are you more worried about? Whether or not you're going to have kids tonight while you're infected with Ebola, or being infected with Ebola. I think it's a no-brainer.
Well, yes, and I think many of the comments are no-brainers, but this is part of the propaganda system. This is, you know, you take something totally wildly out of context, and you say, ha-ha, you see, it made the sperm less motile, and therefore it's going to make young men infertile. Huh?
So it's the same kind of logic that the World Bank privatization helped Argentina out, you know?
Exactly. And it is also the same kind of lack of logic that you get when you educate people in such a way that they are not capable of rational, logical thought. Like, for instance, Common Core would be a good way to train people to never be able to discern the difference between a truth and a lie, except by the shiny case in which it's put.
I had some people telling me today that there's, hold on a second. Everybody has to find their own truth, etc. And I was like, that's impossible, because the truth is objective. Everything is exactly the same to everybody if it's actually the truth, okay? Because it's factual. It doesn't move. It doesn't change, varying on your opinion.
Yes and no. I can have a truth about whether I love someone. That is my internal truth. But that is different from a scientific truth, from an externally validatable truth. So we have to discern what kind of truth we're talking about. Are we talking about subjective, internal, emotional truth? And nobody can take that away from me. I either do or don't love. I either am or I'm not angry or whatever. I either like this flavor of ice cream or I don't. That's my internal personal world, and the truth is irrefutable and absolutely irrelevant to anybody else's truth. But then there is external truth that we can measure, that we can repeat, that we can validate, that we can show in a laboratory, and that truth is what you're talking about. You're talking about external, validatable, common consensus truth, because it can be reproduced. If this bowl that's sitting in front of me is measured with my ruler, it's 4 inches across. If it's measured with your ruler, it's 4 inches across, unless one of us has a defective ruler. And that's the end of it. There's no argumentation about external validatable truth. If the nanosilver protected the normal structure and function and enhanced it of the immune system, that's going to be repeatable today, tomorrow, next week, in Japan, in Singapore, in Malaysia, in Santiago, in California. It doesn't matter. The truth is repeatable. That kind of truth you don't find your own of. The internal subjective truth, I love, I don't love, etc. Yeah, that's mine, to be my own on my own terms. And that really shouldn't have any impact on consensus shared reality.
Unfortunately, people think that it does, and this is actually what makes the ordinary person, whether or not they realize it, actually quite dangerous to people who know the difference between an objective truth and a subjective truth.
Yes, exactly. Now, if you don't teach people how to think inductively and how to think deductively and what the difference is, if you don't teach people the skills of precise communication, I mean, we can all be loosey-goosey when we want to, but we ought to know how to be precise when we need to and when we choose to. If you don't teach people that, then you are crippling people and making them dependent on your truth. And that, of course, is what's happening. There was a book called The Invisible Man by Harlan Ellison, if I remember. And one of the things that happened in this future set science fiction novel was that the proles, the ordinary people, had a restricted vocabulary. They could not form complex thoughts because their education did not give them complex communication structures, and therefore they could be controlled extraordinarily easily. And isn't that what we're seeing?
It is, and it is only getting worse. Now, we only have about a minute or so left in the broadcast. Dr. Rammer, do you have any closing thoughts that you wish to wrap up about the Ebola scams? Scumbaggery? Well, oh, sorry. How many words does that start with SC that I come up with? I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Yes, it's real, it's dangerous, it's weaponized, and it's coming at you. And what you need is knowledge. Oh, it's also aerosolizable. It's transmitted via the air. And what you need is both knowledge and, frankly, nanosilver. I don't know of anything else that will protect your immune system's normal function in the same way. That's what I have to say, Vinny, and thank you so much for giving me the chance to say it.
Well, just hold on for 1 minute there while I ramp up then. I think what we've got to be really cognizant of, especially after doing like 4+ hours of radio today, is that you can push your limits, right? You can entertain thoughts that you don't even quite yet believe. And sometimes those things can be interpreted as mistakes, but ultimately, if you don't make any mistakes, you never make any discoveries. And so the constant denial of everything without even bothering to look at it is more or less a slow suicide that people are condemning themselves to. Don't kill yourself. Live and feel alive. And go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and donate today. There's also a couple of products there, the Blue Shields. In fact, I need to get myself a pair of Blue Shield headphones, which would be great because my brain's starting to hurt from having the headphones in too much, directly irradiating through the ear canals, my brain places. It's not good. Other than that, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest joining us now needs absolutely no introduction, so naturally I'm going to introduce him. Men want to be him, women want him, and so do the cops. It's Santos Bonacci. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Thank you very much. Really appreciate you looking out for me and inviting me to talk with you. It's been great, Vinnie. How are you going?
Well, this is, after we finish this little segment here, this is going to be my fifth or sixth hour of radio today or something. My brain's buzzing. I was talking to a friend before about a bodybuilding terminology of like a second wind, you know, when you're just about to die, when all your muscles are burning, and then suddenly, pow, you got the energy back. And I've just kind of like launched into my my second wind after the elections ended in New Zealand. So I'm doing really, really fantastic. The reason I'm calling you is because I had a Facebook follower ask me if there was a wanted poster about you that was legitimate. And also I called up Max Egan, who's very, very crook right now, just earlier today, and he sent me an article about you being wanted. So I wanted to get your story on it and actually share it with the listeners.
Yep, it's true. Apparently they're saying there's two warrants, and that would be correct. The first one is for not appearing, quote-unquote, with the traffic toll incident that was settled with a bill of exchange. And so now the prosecution are going for, you know, not appearing, you know, because they want you to appear in person, which would be very, very detrimental to the individual. But anyway, then a couple of months later, I was contacted by a solicitor who rang me on my cell phone, actually, and he said, look, we're suing you. You know, the Victorian government solicitors are suing you. Jeff Chettle is a judge who's coming after you through the Attorney General's office and the Queen and common law. And by the way, all of these are in all caps, so they're all commercial entities that are coming after me. And I said to this solicitor, Daniel Jones, I said, no worries. Well, if you've got a summons, you can summons the dead, can't you? Then, you know, good luck on finding Santo Bonacci. I said, if you have a live man who has a verifiable claim against me, the living man, well, and a subpoena, well, then perhaps, you know, I might, you know, take note. But, you know, you've got a summons, and it's for Santo Bonacci, the all caps name. Now, they're trying to get me for contempt of court. So contempt of court, why would that be? Well, back in November when I was doing a lot of shows with radio with Kate of Gaia, we were doing email bombs to all the court houses and police stations and mayors and of cities and etc., and calling them out for people trafficking and, you know, using the birth certificate name for creating securities and bonds and enslaving people, etc. But I guess I went a little bit too far with my language in the emails. I was very, as usual, I'm not, you know, backward in expressing myself. And I suppose he didn't appreciate that. And apparently what I said on radio was detrimental to the case. He was hearing the case of a couple of friends of mine for drug charges. And eventually they pleaded guilty, whatnot, went to jail. And so they feel justified that, you know, there was good reason to judge people, administrate their estates and their trusts and put them in jail, use them as surety and traffic their energy and be people traffickers and a bunch of the bar is. They're a criminal organisation, and Jeff Chettle is number one criminal. He'll be wanted and in jail before I will, and that will be definitely true. He will eventually be dealt with. Unfortunately, he's a big criminal. He's put a lot of my friends in jail, and he just loves killing people's souls. He's a murderer and a I guess, you know, because he supports organization, which is the bar, and you know, they've now in cahoots with Victoria Police, and they put out a wanted poster out on.
I've got it actually here right in front of me, and it's interesting to note that the symbol of the Victoria Police is an upside down star.
Of course it is.
A nice satanic star, you know. There's nothing going on here. And there's, and also there's incidentally a black and white Masonic checker around all their little caps. So I'll read it out for the listeners. Wednesday, 15th October 2014, here we are. Police are appealing for public assistance to help locate Santo, in brackets, Sam Bonacci. The 51-year-old man is wanted in relation to contempt of court charges and failing to answer bail relating to approximately 500 infringement notices. Two warrants have been issued and police have released an image in the hope someone can provide information on his current whereabouts. Incidentally, I was just looking at that image, Santos. It doesn't look like you. But the last time I saw you, you were shaved, so there's a difference. You kind of look like a bushman now, bro. It was awesome. The barefoot one.
Yeah.
And, Sam is described as having an olive complexion and is 150 centimetres tall with shoulder length, greying, wavy hair and a grey beard. He is believed to be frequenting the Myrtleford area. Anyone with information is urged to contact Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or submit a confidential crime report at www.crimestoppersvic.com.au. That's Sergeant Sharon Darcy, the media officer, 37433.
Yeah, she'll go to jail too for incriminating herself there. Fancy using a human body as surety for their piece of sureties and bonds and slave trafficking, people trafficking documents that they put in their courts. I mean, and they're using, they want to use me as surety for their paperwork. No, thank you very much. No.
And how did this actually kick off? I mean, was this only just issued like yesterday?
Yeah, mate, yeah, around the 25th of last month of September, they did an ex parte hearing. Of course, I didn't go into their court. I did send a couple of letters to Daniel Jones, the acting solicitor. He's he wrote to me in an email and said, we are going to sue you, and so is I am going to sue you and the Attorney General. Pretty vague, isn't it? Yeah. So basically, it's just a corporation suing another government corporation. They're in fraud. That will be discovered soon. The whole world's realizing this. I've been preaching this for years now, and the world knows. They will back me. Even people who don't like me, even people who, you know, are on the fence, they will just jump on this side. It's time now for the Great Awakening. And every single name that I collect from these mongrels that are doing this to anybody, for that matter, they will go to jail. But in particular, all the names that I collect from the individuals involved, they'll all be going to jail. I'll file a claim, and they'll be sitting in steel bars one day, probably rotting away where they deserve to for all the harm that they've ever done to individuals. Use them as surety. Fancy that. They're doing. That's how low these criminals are. They're outlawed in all the universe, and they turn up in our courts and pretend to be judges. What a freaking joke, you know. These are just criminals. They're hearted criminals. Jeff Chettle is number one hearted dog, prick, mongrel, just a general all-round and he deserves what he's got coming to him. Whether it's in this life or in the afterlife, I will never forget his name. He will never forget mine. He will be the perennial loser for all eternity. He will not win. You know, I know who I am, and I'm connected to upstairs. This guy is connected totally to downstairs, and that's the only connection he's got. It's totally disconnect from the living force creator God. And this is why they do their deeds of darkness, you know. yeah, unfortunately, their lot and their judgment will be upon them very, very soon.
Now, I also wanted to just talk about you personally and how hard this has been on all of you. I mean, you've lost your car over this. I mean, are you holding up, like, mentally? How stressful is it?
Yeah, there's always stress because I don't like suspension. You know, no one likes suspense. I know I've got all the cards. I know that I've never committed a crime or hurt anybody in my life or harmed or injured. And my intent is pure. So the universe has already judged me because I know, you know, what's in my heart. Sure, I'm not happy with the language I've used in the past. I've said apology on Facebook to everybody. And in public, I've apologized. I've been very ruthless, harsh, cruel in my comments, simply because, well, I just feel frustrated like others. They get frustrated when people seem to, you know, not heed the good word. Yeah.
And people, I was just thinking of, like, is there anybody being accusing you of being a psycho or anything like that? Because if you've apologized, it means you can't be one because they can't even give a false apology.
Mm. Yep. Well, I did apologize in one of the letters. I did do an apology for anything that any person that I may have hurt. But see, the thing is, we're not dealing in persons. We're dealing in live men. Unless a live man who has first-hand witness and testimony of the facts can come forward and present those, which they can't because they haven't got any. There's no case, really. They're just, you know, doing this to intimidate, scare all the other people around the world who have, you know, who know what I'm doing and bringing down the de facto criminal system of the Jesuits and the Fabians and the Freemasons and all of these criminals, the bar. Consciousness is just bringing their works down to nothing, reducing them to nothing, because the age that is upon us now is of enlightenment. There's no room for these, you know, the bond age and their securities and derivatives. The derivative market has been collapsed. It's over. Even if you want to quote the motu proprio of September 1st, declares that there's no immunity for the juridic person and anyone who hides behind it. So basically these entities, these bar entities, know that their days are numbered. I think they've only got a few years to clean up their act, but there's certainly a lot of good light-bearing individuals in all levels of all organisations who are sick of the enslavement. We've been vampirised. We've been chattelized. We've been
We've been turned into sheep, incidentally, by an organisation called the Bar.
Yeah, yeah. Funny, you know. They leave their hints everywhere. You know, the highway that leads to Canberra is called the Barton Highway. Well, is that short for Bartown? Barton. Barton takes you from the M1 Princes Highway, takes you all the way to Canberra. Now, Canberra is basically another word for the High Priest of Ra, or Bra. So it's one of the largest governmental offices on the planet. There's pyramids everywhere. It's all about pyramids and sacred geometry and all that New World Order stuff. And
it's true. There's even a pyramid flagpole structure above the parliament or something like that, so it can channel Luciferian energy into all of the people in the government.
Yeah, it's very subtle, but all they are is just energy sappers, and it's time to just stop them from doing this. It's time to say, look, no more. We've had Roman slavery for 2,000 years. Before that, we had, I guess we had the Babylonian system, and before that, we had the ancient Egyptian system, which enslaved us, because all of these beautiful cultures, they all became corrupted, you know, by money entities, by usury, by interest, by businessmen. You know, they were infiltrated, banksters, criminals, people who want to live the high life at the expense of the slaves. And so they, you know, they converted Rome into a slave machine. And so, you know, the Inquisition is still on. In my presentations, that's what I teach, and I show how it is the Inquisition. So what they're doing is they're just putting out, wanted notices to support their Inquisition.
And, of course, and let me guess, you didn't expect it, as in nobody expects a Spanish Inquisition?
Yeah, Monty Python, yeah.
Hey, in fact, speaking of which, we were talking about the slaves, right? There are nearly 2,000 Facebook likes on this post here, man. So you actually have probably a good group of haters out there who don't like you, don't understand you, who actually will be looking for you.
Is that on the police side?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah. They're all brainwashed idiots. Yeah.
Have you toyed with the idea of maybe turning yourself in and then overturning it in court, or?
Oh yeah, I've got my options. Yeah, I'm just taking my time to, let people think what they want. I've been made to look stupid in the past, but my material stands. No one's debunked it, and I'm 100% correct. You know, when it comes to syncretism. As for law and stuff like that, I guess I lag behind. My knowledge is limited, like everybody else's, but. When it comes to syncretism, that's firmly implanted now back on this planet. It's here to stay, and all the morons, I'm glad that they're ticking and liking and making comments, because those will be recorded forever, and they will look stupid forever, you know, when I'm fully redeemed, because, these are supporters of the Inquisition, stupid morons who are supporting a pedophile organization, run by oligarchic pedophiles. We know that. We've seen how many, many people have exposed this and been killed in the process. I knew I was going to make a target of myself 4 years ago when I started posting videos on syncretism and sovereignty. You know, I was told, I was warned. My parents, my mother, who's very, concerned about me, and she's always been there to tell me, oh, why don't you just stop it, and why don't you just... go up into the quiet place and, you know, meditate and just do your own thing. Why do you have to worry about helping others? Why do you have to put all these messages out and everything like that? Well, I mean, I've got a responsibility. What I know is like a burden unless I share it. I need to share the truth of syncretism, and because I know how it works, and there's not many people out there that know how syncretism works. So that's why I've done it, and I've been
He who has the ability has the responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's your next move here? I mean, are you sitting here pondering your options, or are you actively evading capture? What?
Just a bit of everything. I just I've taken time off to look after myself, and I'm still in the process of that. My health is not the best, really. I just discovered that I'm not hydrated, and takes a lot to get hydrated. You know, I've probably don't drink enough water, really. But even when you do drink water and you scull it down, it's just going to go straight through. You have to learn how to hold it in your mouth, swill it around, swish it around, put your own juices in it, and that way it holds it, you know. So I'm learning all these things and doing a lot of green juicing, fasting. I'm doing meditating, solar gazing. I walk on dirt, coconut oil pulling. I'm just trying to rehydrate the body and get it back to normal. That's my prime, objective. That's priority.
It seems to me that if your body's constantly under stress, the nutrients will basically leach right out of you at an alarming rate, and that might be part of the reason for your health going awry, is this whole stressful situation, do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I've been 10 kilos underweight since 2009, early 2009. I just possibly had some food poisoning, according to a friend who gave me some herbal tea, which caused her mother to be in hospital for 6 months. I took the same tea. Now, I didn't end up purple and blue in hospital, but I do remember getting sick and things changing when I had this tea. And I just kept losing weight. And I was 63 kilos all my life, went down to 53 and haven't been able to put it on. But I'm doing things to increase the absorption in the stomach lining and intestines, etc., like apple cider vinegar with bicarbonate soda, mix it up, drink it. Grape juice with a raw organic egg. You mix that up with some super greens. You take that in, that goes straight to the blood. So I'm doing a lot of self-feeding rather than putting lumps of food in my stomach and making my organs do all that digesting work and everything and rah, rah, rah. Goes straight to the cells, and I'm feeling really good with it. You know, I've been fasting a lot and doing that, and you can feel the energy, definitely. So I've got to get that right first and look after myself and then deal with these clowns and put a few of them in jail, hopefully.
All right. Well, is there anything you need from the listeners, any support?
I've got a lot of support from friends all around the world and locally. So there's plenty of support. I just need, prayers and good energy, I guess, and we all do. I'm not the only one here suffering on this planet. As I suffer, everyone else does. Even those little goons who, happily go and eat corporate food and poison themselves and vaccinate themselves and breathe in chemtrails and drink in fluoridated water, even those guys there that I'm trying to help that are actually liking the police inquisition, they're suffering equally as I am. You know, Gaza is happening in our stomachs. It's happening in our heads. If it's happening on this plane, as Gandhi said, and as Martin Luther King said, if there is an injustice here, it is everywhere. If there is one person suffering in a prison over there, it is everywhere. For all of these oligarchs who have great big mansions full of security cameras and guards and protective services and shit scared because they know that they're killing and people trafficking, they're not happy either. You know, so if I'm not happy, everybody else will not be happy. If I'm happy, everybody else will be happy. So it's in everybody's interest to be happy and to get this right for everybody. If I've caused injury and harm to a living man, no worries. Well, I'll compensate. I'll have to. I should. And that is the universal law. Do no harm. So I'm good. I've never gone out of my way to intentionally harm anybody. And that's the way I will always live. And if they want to use my body as surety for their disgusting people trafficking derivative industry, well, that's them being the slave traders, not me.
Beyond this, how do you see it really playing out? I mean, do you have a theory? Do you have a vision? Something like that?
The vision will be all good in the end. There might be some humps and hurdles and bumps, but, a lot of my brothers are in prison. A lot of my brothers are in hardship, suffering, dying, being abused, etc. I'm not the only one. But I do know that all will be good one day for all who want it. These ones who are committing these crimes, I feel sorry for them, you know. On one level, I feel sorry for them because they do not know what they are doing and they are hurting themselves and piling up injury on their own shoulders, and they will have to bear that one day, the full brunt of it, and it's going to be sad.
There's an old saying, how do you expose the fascist? By making them act like it. And you've certainly made them act like it, Santos.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Thank you so much for your service to humanity, bro. And also, I wanted to... do you still have your website up, the universaltruthschool.com?
It is.
All right, so go to Santos' website there, ladies and gentlemen, universaltruthschool.com. He needs your love and good vibes and all of that jazz right now so he can get it all sorted himself. You've been listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. There's a listener-supported broadcast, so if you want to support me, please do so. Thank you, Santos, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after the break. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on the vinnieeastwoodshow.com. It's a listener-supported broadcast, so please go to the homepage and give us some of your slave money so we can continue to fight the slavery scumbaggery fiat currency makers. Isn't that interesting? I like to be ironic like that. My very special, somewhat fabulous, miraculous, and particulated guest is Michael J. Murphy. Welcome to the show, bro.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Vinny. It's been a while, but it's great to hear your voice and great to see that you're still fighting the battle.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't have really much of a choice. It's like, you either keep fighting or you die trying.
Exactly. And I think we're starting to win. I think we're making progress. So all of our work is not in vain. We're seeing amazing things happen. And, of course, those snowball, don't they?
Well, see, me, I always trust to cynicism, you know, like a real journalist. And I assume failure. But the thing is, it's not the victory isn't the reason why I do what I do. It's a lack of options, you know?
I guess so. I started, of course, as you know, covering the chemtrail geoengineering issue about 5 years ago. And the more I research this, the more I'm learning how damaging, not only to human health, but also to our environment, these programs are. So there's a lot of dynamics to the movement, which really give me hope in terms of getting these programs stopped. So a lot has been going on both sides, in the activism side in terms of progress that we're making, and also in terms of political action taken in order to establish this global government to oversee geoengineering programs. So it's kind of a race for time right now. So as the movement's expanding, so are geoengineers, their programs, and their political initiatives. So it's exciting. But on a good note, on a side note of that, in Maui, we just had success at stopping Monsanto, from moving forward and growing their seeds on the island of Maui. So we started that initiative, a little less than a year ago. And it was funded a very minute amount. Monsanto threw, I believe, $7 million to try and get our bill blocked. We had political support from the county council. And yesterday it went into action. Of course, Monsanto is trying to battle back with getting us into the courtroom, but we have had success at that. So that is one other strike for victory for the team of truth, and we're really excited about that. So we're going to use the motto that we used for Monsanto for geoengineering. So we've learned a lot, and of course we've been moving forward with that initiative in Maui for quite some time, but we had to take a step back. And this was a very effective, well, it's not only a victory, but it was a very effective learning experience for all of us. So we're going to use those experiences to move forward and get the global geoengineering legislation banned as well.
Activism is kind of like shooting somebody with a taser gun. You know, every now and again you get that, and you get to smell their spinal juices cooking. But also, sometimes you need some time to recharge, you know, because you do get burnt out doing this kind of work because, you know, there's no money, there's long hours, there's plenty of, you know, emotional support around you with people that are, like, in it for the right reasons for doing the right thing. But at the same time, it's just draining and you need to kind of, like, step away from it for, like, a couple of days or something and go, ooh, okay, I'm going to shake that stuff off.
Yeah, I've learned balance because I was going strong for 3.5-4 years without a day off. I mean, just nonstop from morning all the way until, you know, I could collapse. My meals were on my lunch breaks were being on the phone eating, you know, my meals. And I found, yeah, you know, we all need time to recharge. We need time to laugh and to bring balance into our life. So that was one thing. You know, I went out for a while to get some rest, which I absolutely needed. You know, things fall apart in your life if you don't have that balance. So I've got the balance back and really going to be focusing on that. So for all the activists and all the audience, yes, you know, we are in a battle and it can be tiring, but we have to really take care of our own mental health, for lack of a better term, or, you know, keep that balance in our life so that we can continue on at an even pace. It's not the fastest person that's necessarily going to win the race. It's somebody who does it very smart and balanced, and that's the place that we have to be in. So I can totally relate to what you're saying, probably more than than most people.
My wife was reading this article in the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine about sleep, and having enough sleep does amazing things for you, you know, like bumps up your immune system, it preserves mental sanity and things like that. And I was talking with Thomas Sheridan, who's like doing a lot of commentary on psychopathy and that kind of thing. And he was getting like everybody's woe stories all the time, to the point where he couldn't sleep because he was having nightmares and like thinking really badly about everything. And it's like, mate, if you can't take care of yourself, how exactly are you going to help other people? And
that's right.
After a while, when you're entrenched in activism, you start to learn that very important warning signs about, oh my God, I'm about to burn out, I need a week off, you know, that kind of thing.
You got that 100%, you know, correct. And you know what, I found, Vinny, switching my thoughts in terms of, you know, initially when I started looking at this, it was, oh boy, we're in trouble here. We got a major problem. Human health, ecosystems are collapsing around the world. But now I look at this in terms of an opportunity. You know, we, for the first time, we have an issue that affects each and every one of us around the world. It's not only an opportunity for us to unite, but it's also an opportunity for us to create the world that we want. So anytime you have a problem, you can look at it as a problem or an opportunity to solve this issue and move forward in a capacity that's beneficial not only to us, but to everybody in society.
Yeah, well, the Chinese character is the same for a crisis as it is for opportunity. And let's just say that old chestnut, necessity is the mother of invention. It seems to me to be one of the truest statements, because whenever you're comfortable, you're not really motivated to change things. But if you're freaked out and incredibly uncomfortable and, more to the point, really angry and motivated to change things, that's when it starts happening. And in our nations now, we have an addiction to comfort, an addiction to having fun. And I don't think that we take responsibility seriously enough to actually realize what it actually is, what it means to be responsible. And I was just on Mike Harris's show just before, Mike, and the quote that came up with was a Jefferson quote, I think. It says, "It's a patriot's duty to protect his country from his government." And I thought about the word duty. What does it actually mean? And duty seems to me to mean moral obligation. What are you actually morally obligated to do? Not what somebody's telling you to do, not what you feel like doing, but what do you actually have an obligation to do via your own conscience and how you look at things. And the thing is, when you know what your moral responsibility is, when you fulfill it, it's sometimes, and not always, but sometimes, especially with people in our movement, makes you hate the people who aren't following their moral obligation, makes you angry with them, and makes you start criticizing them instead of following your own. Have you noticed that? It's kind of like a double negative feedback loop, kind of cancels each other out.
Well, you know, I've gone through that stage as well. And, you know, it's something that many of us see and many of us notice. And it becomes almost a challenge to comprehend how somebody, you know, getting this information cannot move or cannot act on it. But we have to recognize people are at different stages. They're at different levels. Maybe they've been watching too much TV, you know, and that might dumb them down. Whatever the case might be. But I'll tell you what, Vinny, I have had, when after we released What in the World Are They Spraying, you know, I was getting several hundred emails in every day. His phone was ringing off the hook, and I was working like crazy. But many people initially not only had questions, but a lot of criticism, because it was a new issue that was introduced to them, which they just simply didn't want to believe. And let's be real. The idea that airplanes are putting chemicals into our sky, it just seems out there unless you really have the facts and really study this. However, my response to them, initially I wanted to respond back in anger, saying, how can't you get this, you know?
And how do people, like, respond to chemtrails, you know? Like, you see your documentary, Michael, and you kind of think to yourself, how can any rational person not know and believe all of a sudden, you know, like, with all the evidence laid out to them?
Right. But, well, we happen to have this psychological issue, which I have studied, called cognitive dissonance. And cognitive dissonance occurs when something is introduced to somebody and it contradicts their belief system. And in that contradiction, it creates anxiety. So it's very easy to deny something and stay, I guess, in what you would call in the darkness. And that anxiety produces those reactions. So after What in the World Are They Spraying, people were like, you know, a lot of people attacked me. It did wake up, you know, the masses, maybe 1%, 2% just were attacking me. No, this isn't true, blah, blah, blah. It was interesting, though, because now I'm getting emails back of people saying, hey, you know, I wrote to you several times back in 2011, 2012. You sold me to this issue. Now I've researched it and I believe in it. So the point that I was making, when we do our activism, I guess many of us want to see the fruits of our labor happen overnight, and we expect people to immediately get in and jump on the bandwagon and start addressing these issues. And yes, that has to happen. However, you know, don't discount the power of the spoken word when it's done in truth and integrity. And in doing so, you know, it could be 2 years, 4 years, could even be 10 years down the line where people wake up and then they join our cause. And that's the goal. So our work is never done in vain, and it's never done without, you know, without productivity. So we are having success, especially with this movement. It's growing exponentially. We're very close to critical mass. And that's 10%. So a recent poll that geoengineers took indicate that about 8% of the population globally is aware of geoengineering programs. So 10% is critical mass. And once you hit critical mass, it becomes highly likely that your issue will become common knowledge around society as a whole. So we're very close to that point. And once we hit that, it will expand exponentially. And of course, we spoke about the global legislation that they're working very, very hard at establishing. But once we hit the critical mass, they'll have a very difficult time in establishing that. So it's literally a waste, not a waste. It's a race for time right now in getting this message out. And in doing so, we can really literally create and shape the future. So it's very important.
Indeed, I think so. One of the parts that is really important, I think, to activism in general, regardless of what your issue is, because as we know, Mike, there's not just one bad thing going on. I mean, chemtrails is one of the big ones, and Fukushima is another one, and political corruption is another one, and the banking system. Basically, everybody plays their part in their own particular area. And what I dislike is people who actually don't do anything at all, who just sit there criticizing people who are getting their job and their neck of the woods done and saying you're not doing enough on all these other 600 issues.
and there's plenty of our armchair quarterbacks out there, and you know, I think the important thing is, as activists and people who are out there doing, yes, information is important, and there's a saying that information is power, and I disagree with that. Information with action is power. So we have to have the action, and it shouldn't be directed at other activists. And we see a lot of infighting in groups and criticism and of other activists, and that's not productive at all. What we need to do is be uplifting other activists and hopefully replicating ourselves. In doing so, when we empower other activists with the information that we have to become active, we exponentially grow the movement. So my goal as an activist, and my goal in producing both What in the World and Why in the World Are They Spraying, was really to create activism in people around the world and hopefully have many of those people have a greater audience and touch more people than I've had the opportunity to educate with these films. And that's the goal. And that's the only way that this is going to that we're going to have a fighting chance at stopping this. This is not a political game where people should be fighting over, you know, who is the more effective activist or really putting other activists down, because unfortunately we see that coming into movements. It really should be about empowering other people. And when I see activists criticizing other activists, you know, it brings me back to my days when I used to be a big football fan. And Howie Long was a football great. I don't watch sports anymore. I focus on my activism. I find that my time is better spent there. But Howie Long was one of the great linebackers or defensive tackles in the NFL. And after his greatest games, instead of going out celebrating, he would go back into the film rooms and watch the games and watch what mistakes he made. And in doing so, he became one of the greatest. So as activists, we should be looking at our mistakes and self-examining. And in doing so, we become better. And then we're able to make other people better. Instead of criticizing other people, Howie Long didn't go into the film room and say, oh my God, you know, Jack Taylor dropped the ball and he fumbled. You know, he's a terrible football player. He wasn't pointing out the mistakes of other people. We don't get better doing that. We get better by looking at ourselves and examining and then improving on that. And that's what we need to do. And that's how you can kind of determine who is a leader and who will be more effective in this game. And there are a lot of people who are stepping up right now with incredible information. My goal is to use my platform to empower those people. And we're actually working on a new structure. So it's going to be an interdependent structure of, and it's going to be activism-based. So it's called the Geoengineering Action Network. And it's going to, again, be interdependent. So there are going to be many organizations, many different activists involved. But it will be very effective because it will not allow, you know, one person who is reaching the majority. What if that person gets taken out? Then the movement falls. So this is going to be, you know, really having the goals of creating thousands, tens of thousands of leaders who are reaching literally millions of people. And that way you cannot stop the movement.
I think that this, I was just talking about this or thinking about this yesterday, in point of fact, Mike, about the obligations that are on those with leadership characteristics. And it's like there's part of us who are very anti-authoritarian. We don't like to be led around and we don't like to be told what to do. And there's part of us that actually want to help others and allow them to be the best that they can be by providing them tools, advice, encouragement. And those are the characteristics of a leader, not authoritarianism.
You got that right. And control is never the answer. And you look at all the great leaders, whether it's MLK, JFK, they never sat around and badmouthed other activists. Their words were spoken with truth and integrity, and their words motivated people and they activated people, and that's why they were effective. So if we want recognition, we're in the movement for the wrong thing. What we should be doing is really inspiring, and you hit the nail right on the head. That is so important. But our words, the words that we speak, they should inspire and activate people, and then that way we can be the greatest teachers.
And that's the kind of obligation. It's like I'm pretty good at radio, and there's nobody else in New Zealand that's really doing radio in the same sort of vein that I am. So I took the obligation to start producing a couple of New Zealanders who have very similar talents to myself, but don't have a producer or a network. So I simply now take the initiative every week to ensure that they have a radio show recorded. And the idea is basically it's like the opposite to business. Idea is to basically out-compete your competition. In activism, the idea is to create your own competition, okay?
Because right.
If everybody's competing, okay, who can expose chemtrails the most or something like that, does anybody actually achieve less as a result of everybody exposing chemtrails, you know? No. You know, and that's the absolute difference. If you've got the talent and the ability and the resources and what have you, you can share them with others, you can motivate, you can actually get the movement growing. And it seems to me that there's a lot of fear instilled in people, like, I don't want to go out and talk about this, people will call me crazy. And so, okay, well, hold on a second. If you don't go out and prevent your own extermination, aren't you going to call yourself crazy? You know?
That's absolutely correct. And I really never thought of it that way. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, after being in this for 4.5 years, you know, there have been a number of character assassinations. I've been called everything. And you eventually become immune to it, you know. And when we're driven, when we're focused, and when we're in our calling for the right reasons, those things don't hinder us. You know, we have a duty, we have a calling, and we know that we're right. So when you know that you're right, when you're in truth and integrity for the right reasons, and that's to inspire and to educate people and essentially to activate people. And in doing so, yes, we will have success. And those words against us really, you know, really won't do any damage. They just kind of slide off of us. But yeah, unfortunately, we see some at times, and you know, especially in the past year and a half within the geoengineering movement, we had a lot of mudslinging, certain activists putting down other activists, and it was kind of comparable to that business model, you know, somebody trying to lead the movement by putting somebody else down. And that's unacceptable, because our duty is to lift other people up that are working in truth and integrity.
There's a second element to it, and if there actually is an infiltrator, if there actually is a disinfo agent, like one person who's a radio show host that myself and Suzanne Posel exposed, Anonymous hacked his computer and leaked a document, and it was a fax that he sent to the FBI, working for them kind of thing, like... And when it comes to criticizing other activists, you best have the incontrovertible, documented evidence, you know, as close as you can get to a pay stub from the CIA field office in Langley. That's about how much evidence you need before you start criticizing people within the movement. It can't be hearsay.
I couldn't agree anymore. And I've been called everything from a drug addict to a wife beater, all of these things, people trying to destroy my reputation. And it was effective for a while, but now people are beginning to see the truth. And all of these things were done without documentation. It was all hearsay, but people bought into it. And that's the problem. You know, people hear, whether it's a respected leader in the movement, people, you know, think everything that person says is credible. No, if there's something that's going on inside of the movement, you know, or if somebody's damaging the movement, then absolutely, you better have documentation for it. And unfortunately, I think the movements are beginning to wake up to this, because looking at damage that can be done just by bad-mouthing somebody else who has a large audience, you know, can really slow down what we're trying to do.
There's an old saying, Mike, it can take a lifetime to create a reputation and a day to destroy it.
That's exactly correct. I actually wrote, after my experiences, I didn't mention any names, but I did write an article called "Has the Chemtrail Geoengineering Movement Been Co-opted?" And that was a very effective, and it was my most important article, because it literally relates to all movements and group dynamics and what we need to look out for and how we need to handle, you know, certain people that are coming in with character assassinations. And so if you just Google "Has the Chemtrail Geoengineering Movement Been Co-opted?", I think you'll find it to be very valuable. And when David Icke posted it, they got 3 cyber attacks. They said they've never been attacked in that capacity before. So I think it was probably those who wanted to bring in more COINTELPRO to the movement that probably said, wait a minute, now our cover is going to be blown. But anyways, I think it would empower everybody from all movements and all groups to go ahead and read that article. Has the chemtrail geoengineering movement been co-opted?
Now, unfortunately, we've got to go now. We've only got about 30 seconds left in the broadcast, so I'd like to encourage people to go and watch Michael's documentaries, What in the World Are They Spraying and Why in the World Are They Spraying? And it seems to me that this is probably one of the important elements to realize is that the New World Order is adept at co-opting good movements and then twisting them so that they do almost the direct opposite. So don't be suspicious and paranoid and what have you about everybody in the movement. Just make sure that if somebody makes a claim about something that they've got documentation and evidence to back it up. Otherwise, you'll be one of the 30% of people who never need to see any evidence and it's and operate on the say-so of other people. You have a moral obligation to think for yourself. Don't let everybody down by refusing to do so. Thank you, Michael J. Murphy. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's a listener-supported broadcast, and we will be right back after the break.